Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen anytime on the radio, 92.9 FM, 680 AM, but we are also streaming multiple places online. You can stream anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app, and we're now a part of iHeartRadio, so you can listen to us on the iHeart TuneIn app, because I think they merged as well, or you can listen to us on iHeart.com. You can also go to the Odyssey app. We stream live. We also will stream on demand, or I should say you can listen on demand with chaptering. You can go to certain segments. Great spot to get caught up on everything happening here at 92.9 FM ESPN. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. He joins me each and every day on the program. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day. How was your extended weekend?
It was a good weekend. I'm a big fireworks guy, and I've made the joke that my daughter looks like my wife, acts like me, and so I thought she'd be kind of big into the fireworks, so I tried to talk my wife into, and we went to the fireworks. We had a nice time. When she could see fireworks in the distance, she was all about it, but then when they launched at the show that we were at and she could hear it, she'd had enough. But it was enough to get my wife got one picture for Instagram, so that I viewed that as a win. So it was good. My brother came in town, got to play some golf with him and my dad. My other brother was off gallivanting doing other things, so good family time. It was a good break. Unfortunately, I got online, so we got to talk about that with Herd. We'll do that here in just a moment. Jason Munns is actually breaking some news. We learned earlier today, I think around about an hour ago, that Memphis will be hosting Baylor. It's going to be a four-game series, two home, two away. But also, Jason's got some breaking news that Memphis will receive 100% of the media rights fee from the game against Baylor this year. So we'll talk about that. Been some other schedule additions. We'll talk about all that with Munns here about 30 minutes or so. We'll get into the list. I told George before the show, I think that this might have been one of the biggest weekends in white people niche Twitter. And we'll break it down just indeed what I mean by that, because I thought it was a massive, massive weekend from all corners of the internet for things that I'm not sure the masses cared about, but the passionate few really cared a lot. So we'll get into that. Also, we might start bringing back some football take workshop. This is George, where we start workshopping a take that we are kind of settling in on, but we've also got the best rivalries from The Athletic in college football. So we'll discuss those. That might spur on a football take for the football take workshop. That, again, it's a half-baked take. We're not quite sure yet. It's something that more of like a gut feeling that you want to kind of monitor throughout the season.
Still something in the oven. It's still cooking.
It's not fully developed yet. It's a workshop take. So we'll discuss that. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But now let's welcome to the program. He, of course, is the head coach and team director of Team Thad. On socials at Dream Big Herd. Coach Herd, where in the world are you today?
Great day. I'm coming back. I'm not too far away, but you know we're
you're doing the drive back.
Jam, so I'm getting situated. I'm kind of got a lot of the kids with me. I'm getting them over. You know, we headed down to Peach Jam, so I'm not that far away yet, but kind of out the way to get, you know, everything ready for this upcoming 2 weeks.
All right, so Peach Jam starts when?
Peach Jam is Augusta, Georgia. It starts Wednesday.
All right.
You have to be there, most people, tomorrow.
How many teams you got there?
We would have 3-4 teams there.
Okay.
With different age groups, and it starts tomorrow, and you're pretty much stuck there for 2 weeks. Doesn't end until the 21st.
So I'm aware of Peach Jam as like a top prospect event, but can I take you back to like AAU days? Has Peach Jam like replaced Cocoa Beach?
Ooh, you bringing up?
Yeah, I was going to the way back. There's something that dudes in their 30s that knew late 30s that knew the summer basketball circuit. Is this replacing what Cocoa Beach was once upon a time?
Yeah, even more, because Cocoa Beach, if I can remember, That was like fifth grade national.
Yeah, that was definitely like elementary, whatever, like in between elementary and middle school.
Somewhere in there, because I don't know if you remember, we had the big, I think it might have been seventh grade with Bobby Darling, with Wooddale, and like 20 schools in Memphis took over before they started building facilities, and that kind of knocked it out the box. Do you remember them days when Bobby Darling and everybody in the country had to come here? So what happened was when the shoe brands took over, then AAU Nationals and all that ain't a thing no more. So when Nike created their own lead, and because, you know, you used to be able to go to Boo Williams, it wasn't the lead, then you could still go to the Nationals. That was the biggest thing. Where AAU, although we still call it AAU, AAU is not really a real thing how we grew up with it, Jeff.
It's not an organizer anymore.
No control.
Yeah, because, like, back in the day, it was AAU. What did we have? We had states, regionals, and then nationals. Is that what it was? Was that the order?
Yep, like state, regionals, nationals, and that was things you had to qualify.
Right.
Everybody had to do it.
Yeah, and so I always just remember the big deal was if you got the getting to Cocoa Beach was like the big deal. Like the teams that got to Cocoa Beach, those were the real ones. And you know, there were years where we had a lot of them. And that's actually something I wanted to talk to you about in a little bit. But so, okay, we got Peach Jam starting Wednesday. What do we got? Like a week of pool play, and then we go to the knockout stage. What's the format now?
So the format this year is we got like 2-3 regular season games left, and so they put it all into one.
Okay.
So you get through with that this week, and then you have – I don't think we would have to be a play-in game, but then you do have a play-in game on Sunday or Monday for people who need to make the final slots, and then the official Peach Jam start like Monday, Tuesday. So first, you're finishing your regular season games this week.
And so are you still like earning – like when you do the other Nike EYBL tournaments, like do you earn points for that? Is that how you get seated higher, like to avoid play-in games?
No, so play-in games will be – so 24 teams make Peach Jam.
Right.
So it's about 40 teams trying to get in. And so what happens is when you get down to, like, the 23rd and 4th team, somebody might be tied. Somebody might – they got the new EYCL team. And so for the last two spots is play-in games. And so that's who make the last us, like, we're going to it. I hope the kids not listen to the radio – but we're kind of in it. We just got to, you know, finish our regular season. Some people, they need the last three games to even get in it. So they don't know when they get there tomorrow whether they in it or not. So it's going to be a lot of high-level competition and a lot on the line.
But, like, when you have your other Nike EYBL tournaments, do those have any impact on your standing coming into Peach Jam? Like, so, for instance, the reason why I'm asking this is not like I'm trying to be dumb, but, like, you know, it used to be back in the day, if you played like, you know, USSSA baseball, you would have these qualifying tournaments where if you performed well in that, like it seated you higher when you got to the bigger tournaments. Does any of the Nike EYBL stuff, like the event we had in Memphis, does that have any impact on your standing in Peach Jam?
Yes, so we just do a straight-up schedule. We make it easy now, Jeff. We don't do the points no more. So up until now, everybody has played 11 or 12 games. And so whatever your record is, that's how you make it. So if you 3-9, you probably won't make it. And if you're 9-3, you probably have a top seed. So it goes strictly by record. So all the tournaments leading up, just like the NBA or something, or the NCAA tournament, it leads up into – the seed and things like that. I'm actually going to send you over, Jeffrey, as we talking, because I'm sure you ain't been on this site, but this is a great site that you would love. Just sent it over to you. That's the Nike site right there, the Nike EYBU, and that kind of keeps you up with the regular season, you know, who's where, the standings, how you get in, and all of that right there. I know a lot of the listeners kind of be on this site too when I see them in public.
So NikeEBY.com. Are they streaming it?
Yes, they do. And I mean, and when you go on there, I ain't going to lie, it's one of the best websites. You can break down teams, the record is set for, your schedule is set for the year, like since 2 months ago, I already knew what time I played in July, the date, the time, what court you on. So everything is pretty much good. Your standings, who's the leading score. I mean, college coaches love it. And even NBA use it for analytics, too.
All right, so where are we on the calendar? Can coaches be there this week?
Yes. So coaches, this is both weeks are live periods, Wednesday through Sunday.
Okay, so, I mean, what are we? Will it be as many coaches as were at the Memphis event or even more?
It'll be even more because it's PJM.
Yeah.
So it's the end. Yeah, so it's the end. Throughout the year, because the kids are still in school, if there's a live period, it'll only be on the weekends because, you know, that's all we can do. But in July, with the kids out of school and we going down there for 2 weeks, the coaches actually get to evaluate them 5 days at a time. So that'll be 10 days in all. So that's a lot. And the first game, we play Why Not. So we'll be playing Christian Collins, which is number 2 on the new ESPN rankings that came out a couple of days ago. We'll be playing Ariza's son. So, and then with the kids we got, I mean, it's going to be standing room only, hundreds of college coaches at that game.
Okay, so we've got how many Team Thad teams do we have at Peach Jam?
Like 4. You have 15, 16, 17, okay. And then one of the EYCL teams.
Okay. All right, so again, the website, NikeEYB.com, and then there's the Road to Peach Jam. There's a clear link at the bottom. You can follow the schedule. All the information there, and then that's where the live streams will be as well, right?
Yep. You can go on the schedule, see the game, hit the game, and they usually do a good job. Everything be updated.
Okay, so you are thinking your first game's Wednesday? Is that correct?
Our first game that counts will be Thursday.
All right.
They treat PJM, coach. Think about the NCAA Final Four, man. You got to be there a day. You
got
to check
in. You got the whole check-ins and everything. And then,
you remember how Nationals, you brought up Cocoa Beach. You remember you had to be there and the dinner the day before and the kids and the gold medal. Yep. That's how they treat it.
All right. So I'm showing the 10th is you've got a 5 p.m. game. So that'd be 4 Central time for us. Team Why Not?
Mm-hmm.
Who are they?
Yes, Christian Collins, number 2.
Okay.
Player in the country.
But, I mean, whose program is it?
That's a Russell Westbrook program.
Westbrook's, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Why not?
Then Team United on the 11th. So that would be Friday, 5:30 Central time. Okay, Team United. I feel like I've heard of them, but I probably heard of them because you've told me about them. Who's their program?
Team United is Team United is just a Charlotte, a Charlotte Nike, but they don't have a pro. The pro in North Carolina is the CP3, and then they just a regular.
Okay, and then Drive Nation on Saturday.
That's Jermaine O'Neal team.
Okay, Jermaine O'Neal. That will be a 1 p.m. tip for us here, so it's 2 for Coach on Eastern time, and then the last scheduled game is Sunday, 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 Central against City Rocks.
Yeah, City Rocks not an NBA team, but just, I mean, NBA player, but just really good upper New York. That's not like the Manhattan. That's more like Calkins might know about them. That's up there, Buffalo,
Upstate,
Syracuse, Albany area. Yes, sir.
Man, it is awesome. They got the stats and everything. Like, I call high school football games, and we can't even get, like, a database that just gives stats for teams that play games that count. Like, you know, in high school. We can't get stats.
Anybody who listens to this, Jeff, and I'm not playing around or BSing them.
No, it's a great website. It's
like
easy to follow. It's clean. Love it.
Yeah, it's one of the best. I'm not taking up for Nike. Anybody who just going there, you could not even be a computer guy. They have a really good, smooth breakdown on there. I mean, it's so easy to keep up with. Like you say, clean would probably be the best word for it. And it's broken down beautifully.
Again, as someone who calls high school football games, like, I just wish we had a database like this just for simple stats against who teams have played. All right, I brought you on. I told you, I put it on Twitter on Wednesday night. So I don't think I give you as hard of a time as you think I give you for getting God online, but you got to face the music. I got God online on Wednesday night, and I'd like to lay out a couple of things that happened. Number one, George can attest. When we left the studio on Wednesday, That was the single biggest work day that felt like the last day of school ever. Like
100%.
George and I had been doing basically two shows together every day. George was then doing midday shows. George was just working. And so like once the show ended, like I was just like, I'm done. I'm putting the phone up. My wife even like texted me. She's like, I know I'm supposed to cook tonight, but like, I don't even want to cook dinner. So we went and just got like Mexican food, came back, put my daughter down. And like, I'm just like mindlessly watching TV. And for whatever reason, I decided to scroll my phone, and I don't remember who it was, but it was someone that I trust had retweeted a fake Shams account. And for the record, I have systems in place to combat this. I have now gotten to the point where I know there's so many people out there that love to troll on the internet. They come up with a fake Shams account, a fake Schefter, whatnot. And so if you're not paying super close attention, you'll get got. Well, I have notifications set up for Shams. And what had happened was somebody that I trusted and knew retweeted it. And so really what it was I wasn't even necessarily commenting on the fake news that Mike Breen, after 30 years, was retiring. But what I was commenting on was that it was sources tell ESPN. Well, Mike Breen's an ESPN employee. And I was like, I wonder where they got their sources from, seeing as it would have been one of their own employees. And it took about, I didn't even think anything. I fire off the tweet, and I just went right back to watching TV. I open up my phone maybe like 45 minutes later, and it's just like a flood of, bro, you got fake account, whatnot. And at that point, you got no choice. I immediately, the first person I thought of was like, you know what? Let this be a lesson to everyone. And I fired up. I tagged Coach in it. And I was like, I got. Hand up. Like, there's nothing cute, clever. Like, there's no excuse. Like, I just had to watch the film and get better. But I will say this. It's still one of, like, the, you just feel like an absolute idiot after it. And especially when I've set up systems to prevent this. And it wasn't like, oh, the systems failed. No, I failed. I just didn't use my own system. And so I hope that you took a little enjoyment to see me get owned on Twitter. Yeah, it's for all the people out there. I hope everyone enjoyed it. But yeah, no, it sucks. It's not a great feeling.
So I actually did enjoy it, Jeff, because I'm with you, right? And so I don't take Twitter like you be telling me. You was like, hurry, for you to be so into sports, you're not like all day Twitter like some people.
Which is
are,
a good thing for your mental health. I will say that.
Yeah, and I'm more on, and I know this sounds crazy.
No, you're more on the gram.
Yeah, because like the basketball players and the youth, they put a lot of stuff on there and the story, so I'm kind of on the gram. Well, they do Twitter too, my sports writers, but it's like I have to keep up with these teenagers too, make sure they ain't putting crazy stuff and all that on there.
You got
to
protect your boys.
I like the accountability you came with. Now, I can see in your shoes with how crazy people is on Twitter. They were, look at Jeff. I didn't take that for it. I was more like, you got a son or a daughter, Jeff?
I got a daughter.
You got a daughter. Okay, you like me, you got a daughter. But let's say for any of us, I don't know if King got any kids, George, but for got kids or whatever.
Not that we know of.
No, sir, none.
There's
a band camp joke in there, but I'll leave it be. Just go watch American Pie.
You should leave that one.
George, what's going on this Monday, George? What's going on?
But not much. Just
reveling. Yeah.
Something happened at one of y'all Boy Scout camps. I don't want to know about that right now.
Nope.
But
you think I was at a Boy Scout camp?
I don't know. When he said band camp, that just came to my head, too.
There was a very niche movie from the 90s. American Pie, where band camp, a lot of off color stuff happens apparently at band camp. George was in the band, so I just threw that out there.
Oh, okay, yeah. American Pie. I'm with you. But I looked at it, Jeff, almost as a guy that like hadn't had his heart broken in a minute.
Yep.
And he had been up on, he didn't been ahead of talking to women and dissing them when he wanted to. Not dissing them. We on the radio, Jess. You know, he had to.
No, he was feeling himself, riding high.
Yeah, and then like. he actually kind of started liking somebody, and they didn't, you know, really, you know, it didn't go through. And then he back over here with the bros at the barbershop, and we just remind him, like, it's okay. We all get guys sometimes, you know.
No,
what I mean?
there's a perfect metaphor. So when I went to Pepperdine, everybody their sophomore year goes overseas. Well, I went to a campus that had 55 kids. It was like 40 girls to 15 guys, and a handful of the guys were not interested in the girls. So that whole year, you spend thinking like, I'm coming into my own. The girls are all about it. And then you have the rude awakening when you come back the next year on campus with everyone, and then all the girls have all the guys back at their disposal, and you realize like, oh no, like I was just way too feeling myself then. Like, it's like, no, I'm now back to the real world where no one wants to talk to me.
Yeah. Back to reality, huh?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's the same experience, and it's just, there's something also though about the internet that, like, just, I don't know, when you get got, you just feel so dumb. And then it's like, I don't know. I mean, I guess there's a market now. It's like, now there's so many ways that make money. It's like, there's just, I would never sit there and go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make up a fake account and just start fake writing news. Like, there's all these people that do it, but it's just like, who? I'd like to do a case study of the people that do that. Like, are those contributors to society? Like, are those people that we want, like, being around? Like, I don't know. It's just, those people just greatly annoy me. It's like your whole thing is just trolling, which I guess I get it. You get people mad online, whatever. Like, that, mission accomplished.
Yeah, the world coming to a crazy place, Jeff. And that, with the people that does that, mixed with the AI stuff, man.
Yeah, oh,
this
God.
This is going to be crazy, man. Like, all the new, I mean, AI got, you know, I don't know. We got all kind of listeners. I'm into church and stuff, though. But AI got preachers, man, that, like, if you don't know no better, like, that we know spoke a good word. But AI got them saying,
George,
like,
who is it? There's one of these, one of these music outlets has been tracking. Apparently, there is a band out there that is entirely AI, and, like, they're, like, writing hits, but, like, there's no one. It's all AI, and they're, like, getting juice. Like, to your point, like, I'm now at the point now, it's like, I think if I see stories, I'm just assuming it's AI till it's proven otherwise, when it should be the other way around. You're right. When you get into AI preaching, it's like, oh boy, well, we really are just, like, looking to get rid of every possible community, like, every possible, like, advantage we could have as a society. Like, now that we have AI preaching, it's like, well, what is even the point?
Yeah, but the AI preaching I saw, Jeffrey, actually not a good thing. It's preachers that already preached a message, but if you go online, they got the preacher saying some stuff that you can't say in church. And so at first it catch you off guard. You're like, dang, that preacher just said that? Like, yeah, he got the preacher cussing and just saying.
Yeah, it's
some,
like, when did we go from videos like, look at this kangaroo at the airport, to now we're trying to get, like, preachers saying, like you said, horrible things. Like, what is the need for that? Like, why is a society like, what's that leap?
That's crazy. And with us having kids, man, it make me nervous. Now, I'm not so against, though, and when I say this, I don't want all the musicians to beat me up. You know, there's some very talented musicians, and even though I want everybody to accomplish their dreams, and also some people that need to put it down, whether that's, you know, an instrument, or that's country, rap. Some people ain't got it in them. So I know that could be a cheat code, but if they're, whoever behind them making legit music, and if it's good and we want to listen to it and we're willing to buy it, I don't know if that's so bad.
It's only bad in the sense that it's actually a reflection of us that, like, literally a computer can do. Like, it just proves, like, John's fear is that AI is going to get so good that literally you'll have AI talk shows.
Mm.
And they'll probably rate better than we do.
Now that can't
and it'll
be
cheap because, you know, like, that's, but no, I'm with you. Like, in the end, like, the marketplace will decide, but it's like, this is not a fun spot to be. All right. The other thing that I was started thinking about, and you could tell me more so. So one of the topics of question that came up today, so we've had a few Memphians or from the surrounding area that have made the All-Star game for baseball. And Jeff and I were just talking about this on the fly this morning, so I hadn't done any research. Now that Thad has retired, is Cam Payne the biggest NBA player we have from Memphis?
From Memphis, Tennessee. You know what's crazy about this question is I think, Jeffrey, I would tell people for the longest, like, as Thad was going through his career, and actually they just invited him to this veteran camp either, so we might have about 20% left. We'll know soon. But as Thad was in the league so many years.
17. I can't confirm. I looked it up today.
Yeah, it's 17. And it was years where it was like, wow, he's really holding it down. And almost by himself, you know, for a city that had, in our era, Jeffrey, some of the most world-renowned talent. But for some reason, well, I don't know if it was, you know, attitude or grades or getting, we didn't have a lot of flip over for guys to stay consistently in the league. And that still shocks me because we, coming out of high school, Memphis was like top five in the country for like probably almost 20, 30 years in basketball.
So you tell me, I think there's a couple of things at play. Number one, when you and I were still like middle school, high school, bunch of legendary coaches that had stayed basically at the same high school. So they start to, you know, retire, you know, funnel out. And then the other aspect of it was forever and ever, and I don't know if it's because of these legendary coaches, I don't know if it's because the factories weren't scouting us, but for a long time, Memphis was able to kind of give the Heisman to the basketball factories, you know, where the guys go off and play. And now like the, you know, we have, I don't know how many, what do we have? We've had guys at Mount Verde. We've had guys at IMG, but like that just didn't happen really. When like, if somebody went to IMG, I remember growing up, like that was like, that person was kind of like a myth. Like, what are they like? They just play sports for, and then they go to class for like 3 hours. Like it was such a unique, like banana land experience. But now, like the other aspect of it is how many guys from the area this year do we have that are going like D1? Like, I feel like that's the other aspect of it, is that we're not even producing as many. Like when you and I were in high school, I mean, what, we'd probably have 5 to 10 guys a year that went major high D1, and now it doesn't feel like that's the case.
So Jeff, when we was in school, you might have had 5 or 10 that went major, but you might have had 30 D1s in a class, 20 D1s in a class per class when we was coming up. You know, now all of them went high major D1. So, Jeff, you're alluding on something me and John talk about a lot, that the talent now here. But I guess, like, even when we were coming up, I'm talking about those 5 to 10 high majors. We ain't even got to go back to Pennant. And we can just say from the year 2000 to 2015, you know, just talk about, you know, kind of like that era and whatever, that even when they didn't go to the lead, or they just get to the lead and have a cup of coffee. And that was shocking that Thad was like the only consistent guy. Like, you know, people come in and out a little bit, then Cam Payne became, but it was so many other guys. You know, Sean was in and out, Quintel was in that, but like Thad was like staying there. You know, Tariq Black could have a few years. You know, Adonis and guys, Joe and them guys like that was
Jeremiah's had like some stints here and there.
Jeremiah Martin. But it was like, I didn't get it because I ain't even talking about the kids now that maybe moving or not be cold. We're talking about guys that was like, DJ lost like McDonald Americans and stuff. And it was like, I don't know why the turnover rate wasn't, you know, good for us NBA wise.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, that was something that Jeff and I stumbled on. All right, man. Well, we will wish you luck. We'll be following along. We'll keep people updated. And best of luck at Peach Jam. I know it's a big week for you, man.
Thank you, guys. Hey, and you and George, I know Brad, I know Brad probably told y'all he's a great manager, boss, or whatever, but I've been watching y'all hold it down these last 3 weeks, different shows, part-time, full-time, engineer, everything. So y'all hold up, hold it down, guys.
July means George and I, you hear a lot of us.
Yes, sir.
We don't take very much vacation. All right, my man, good luck to you.
All right.
That is Coach Norton Hurd of Team Thad. Again, the website, NikeEBY.com. They've got the live streams all set up, all the stats, everything good to go there to follow up with Team Thad as they go for Peach Jam. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Jason Munns is going to join the program. Got a bit of news from Jason. Not only is Memphis playing Baylor, but they're also going to get the media rights fee for this game. So he's going to tell us all about that and more when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Jason Munns is the Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at Munsley. Joins us each and every Monday on the program. Munns, I feel like this is like me playing a Blink-182 song. Munns playing some Collective Soul.
Yeah, feeling this is Feels Like It Feels All Right from like 2005, but I'm feeling nostalgic. There's a Collective Soul documentary dropping tomorrow.
On what platform?
It's on streaming. I'm not sure which one, but it's on streaming and it's like on Blu-ray and stuff. So,
wait, we still make those?
Yeah, the pre-order has been pre-ordered for weeks now, and we're getting excited, Jeffrey.
All right, let's see. It drops video on demand.
It's called Give Me a Word.
So, like, it's not like a Max document. It's like it's. I wonder if this has a theatrical release to a certain. I mean, obviously, it's not going to be wide.
I don't think so. I think it is video on demand and physical, like Blu-ray. But yeah, it supposedly goes back all the way to the beginning, the early 90s. And so this today's selection was in honor of that.
So Justin Moore and I were talking about this a couple of weeks ago when he was guest hosting. Is that the band that you've seen the most?
Yes.
Okay, because I wound up in this situation where we went to Third Eye Blind at Live at the Garden, and like I like Third Eye Blind, but at no point have they ever been my favorite band. But right. Like they have a bunch of songs that I like, and I like that's a good time to go, and it's like my wife likes it, so that's something we can do. But like I've weirdly wound up, like if you take Blink out of the equation, I think Third Eye Blind's the band that I've seen the most.
And that's just almost by accident?
It's like they were, you know, when did they really start touring again? Like they took like a decade off, and obviously it's not the original lineup. I actually think what Steven Jenkins has done is sneaky genius. So when you go and see them now, Steven is still the front man, and the drummer is still the original drummer, like from the very first album. But right. What he's basically done is, he's hired these two young guys that I think he makes one wear glasses because they look alike, and so it's that way he can tell them apart. And they're, like, largely responsible for the sound. Like, they do the guitars, they're doing most of the keyboard stuff, and so, like, they're largely doing the sound, and he's clearly taught them, I want you to make it sound like it's always sounded, and they do it. Like, it's incredible. And so Steven will, like, mainly use a guitar as a prop for a lot because he kind of looks pretty cool when he's using it, give him credit, at 60 he still sounds the same, but it kind of blew me away, like the whole experience. And so they wound up touring again, I don't know, like 10-11 years ago. And so at places where you don't get to see a lot of the bands that you grew up with, it's like they would show up, and so I would just wind up going because, well, it's a band that I know. But it wasn't like I was like following Third Eye Blind throughout the country, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I think 3 Days Grace is kind of like that for me. I've seen them 3 or 4 times, but never like it was never like 3 Days Grace is coming to town. I got to go see 3 Days Grace. It just Shinedown's kind of like that too.
Yeah.
No, Collective Soul is by far the band that I've seen the most, and they're still putting out albums. They put out a double album last year. So, yeah, they're still kicking.
still kicking, and they're even keeping up the DVD and Blu-ray business. So thanks be to them. Give Me a Word is the documentary if you want to check that out. All right, you broke some news today. So we initially get the word that Memphis and Baylor will be playing a home and home, a four-game series, correct? Two in Memphis, two in Baylor.
Yeah, bookended by the two in Memphis. So it's like it's here, and then the next two seasons are at Baylor, and then the last game is here, whatever date that's going to be played.
But that was not the only story, correct?
Correct. That is correct. The other part of the story is that, and it's part, it's like, it's a little bit in the weeds, but it's, to me, what I think is important about it is, it's on the bigger picture, it's on the bigger scale. But to start at the beginning, so this game is going to be on CBS. The first Memphis Baylor game is going to be on CBS. And
a third of the way to the Pac-12 number of games on CBS.
There you go.
Yep.
And so, you know, before Tim Pernetti took over as conference commissioner, the American Conference, and I don't know if this is like in alignment with what most conferences do, like most Group of Five conferences do, but if an AAC school was able to get a home game against a high profile opponent, and that game wound up on linear TV, like CBS, for example, then there would be like the CBS would pay the conference a certain amount of money to broadcast that game. And the conference would then distribute that money amongst its entire membership. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that it was an equal share, that every school received an equal share, but every school received at least some
portion of the money
of the share. Well, now, the way Tim Pernetti is doing things, it's like in alignment with his performance-based revenue distribution philosophy and his, I mean, like I wrote the story earlier this year where, you know, and we talked about it, you and I, about how the league outside of Memphis, the AAC teams, programs were scheduling atrociously in non-conference, and it was killing, you know, it made the AAC a one-bid league. And so Tim Pernetti's, one of his efforts to combat that is from now on, if an AAC team gets one of those high profile home games, and it winds up, for example, say on CBS, the school that plays in that game gets 100% of the broadcast payout. And in this case, that's Memphis. Memphis will get 100% of the money from CBS. And to sort of circle back and, you know, put it into what I think is the most important, like put into perspective here is, you know, feel how you want to feel about Memphis being in the AAC or still being in the AAC.
I think that's the better way of putting it.
Yeah, yeah. Feel how you want to feel about that, but don't blame the AAC. Don't blame Memphis at this point. Like we reported, the Commercial Appeal reported a few weeks ago that Memphis got the highest payout of any Group of Five school this past season. This past
the 23-24 financials, right, which is the last set of financials that anyone has.
Yes, Memphis got more than any other Group of Five institution, and Tim Pernetti said recently that that money was going, that Memphis was going to make more than that this next go round, the 24-25 cycle, and it seems like they're going to make more than that the next go round, the 25-26 go round. So, you know, feel, you know, it just, the point is, feel how you want to feel about Memphis still being the American, but at the end of the day, Memphis is financially in the best position they can be in at this point, still in the AAC.
So obviously conference games would not factor. But right. like, am I correct in assuming, well, the Utah State game, which is out of that, does it seem like the game has to be broadcasted outside of the conference's yes. already existing television deal?
Now, yes. I think the short answer to that is yes. If it's like going to be on ESPN or something like that, like it's not going to be as there's going to be some nuances to the deal. Obviously, you know, the AAC's already got a broadcast. The media rights partner with the AAC is ESPN. So, like, you're not – that's not exactly – that's kind of apples and oranges when you're talking about ESPN to CBS in terms of the American. But also, that game is on the road. So it's got to be anything that the AAC – where the AAC team – where the AAC controls the broadcast, like, it's their game. You know what I mean? So essentially just home games. Like, it wouldn't matter if it's Memphis versus Purdue in the Bahamas,
right?
And that happened to be on CBS. Like, that doesn't matter because it's not at Memphis. So, but yeah. So like, if the Vanderbilt game, let's say, winds up on CBS, then that would be Memphis would get 100% of the pie.
But if the Vanderbilt game winds up on ESPNU, it has to get picked up outside of the existing television deal, correct?
Yeah. Well, I don't know that that is like a strict, hard and fast thing. Like I said, I think there might be some nuance to that, but at least based on the explanation I was given. And the other part of it is, you know, it's unclear at this point exactly how much money it actually is. You know, I don't know if it's five figures, six figures, you know, high six figures. I don't know.
Honestly, when you broke the story, I was like, the first thing I want to see is I'm curious to know what a game costs to CBS.
Yeah. And I would, you know, like me too. I'm not sure we will know that, but at least not for a while. We might be privy to that information like at the end of next fiscal year.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see, but if nothing else, we know that, let's say previously, if it was Memphis hosting Alabama and that game was on CBS,
right.
We can reasonably assume that whatever the payout for that game was, Memphis got 50% of it and the rest of the league shared the other 50%. Whatever that amount of money is, whether it was $25,000, $150,000 or more, instead of getting 50% of that amount, Memphis and not just Memphis, if there's another American school who can, you know, do the same thing, if Temple can host, you know, I don't know, Cincinnati.
Or Nova, like what if they do like a Philly game?
Right, and it's on CBS, well then Temple's going to get 100% of whatever the money is.
Because, like, the example, God, now how many years ago was it? When Memphis played Vandy on, like, it was, like, right around either...
It was right around Christmas.
Yeah, it was right around Christmas. I can't remember if it was, like, the Sunday after. But that game got picked up by CBS. That would have been an example where they would have gotten to keep the revenue.
That is correct. And, you know, again, we can reasonably assume it's in the six-figure range. You know, whether it's, again, whether it's 100,000 or 500,000, we don't know. But you know, again, it also go. I mean, that's sort of stands on its own, that information, but then it goes back to, you know, the whole thing about, like, if you want, Tim Pernetti is looking at his membership and he's saying, if you want more money, here's a way to do it. Start making some calls, start doing some work and scheduling. Don't schedule these games that torpedo your net and your KenPom, and you'll benefit in multiple ways. Not only will you benefit from, you know, more butts in the seats, you'll benefit from a net resume, a March Madness resume standpoint, but you'll also benefit from a TV payout.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of that was similar, but it wasn't quite the same. So Gonzaga used to have a situation with the West Coast Conference where they basically created their own television deal for home games, and they negotiated keeping a larger percentage. Boise did the same thing with the Mountain West when Boise had football games. Like, they got to keep a certain percentage. But then that started to go away when people started renegotiating contracts. For Gonzaga, it went away when Gonzaga said, well, we're going to the Big 12 or whatever, we're going to the Pac-12. But I guess what I also take away from this is that Memphis is in a unique spot in that A big problem with these games is CBS are like, well, I don't, you know, like, let's see, UAB, Alabama could be a big game. But how is UAB going to get the home game? Like, where Memphis is in the unique spot is that Penny has been able to get, I feel like, a larger portion of home and homes or more home games than these other schools have been able to do.
Yeah, now that is part of the story. Like, do we think that North Texas is going to be able to get, Oklahoma to come play in Denton? And would CBS want to air that game? I mean, historically, if you look over the last four or five seasons, there really only been, if you remove Houston, UCF, and Cincinnati from the equation, over the last four or five years, it's been almost exclusively Memphis. I think there has been probably less than a handful of other teams that wind up on CBS. Wichita State, I think, had a game on CBS, but I don't know that was non-conference. I'll do the digging. I'll start looking at it as soon as we get done here to see if that's actually happened in the last 3 years or 5 years where a team has had a CBS game against a non-conference opponent at home. But yes, that's part of this thing is like, I don't know that, it's like if FAU calls up, Todd Golden.
Yeah, let's say, defending national champions, yeah.
And says, hey, let's get something going. I don't think Florida's going to want to go to the 500-seat arena in Boca and do that. As it stands right now, it's highly, sort of slanted toward one team in the American that can benefit from this strategy. But that team happens to be Memphis and that's worth something. It should be, in my mind. And again, I've said this numerous times over the last year, like, do not get me wrong. I am not advocating one way or the other for Memphis to leave the American or stay in the American. But what I kind of keep going back to is what I do push back on is those that feel like there's no point or no benefit to Memphis staying in the American. That's just not true. And the American keeps coming up with, just about every time you turn around, it seems like they are continuing to come up with like creative ways to incentivize Memphis to stay in the American. I just think that needs to, that shouldn't get lost.
No, I'm with you. I guess the other thing I was starting to think about, and there's probably no way you know this, but like I've paid attention to Boise. Feel like, as far as I know, Boise became the first school that outright said, we're going to take private equity money to try and basically level up and stay in competitive. I don't know if those are conversations Memphis has had, but I mean, don't you think at some point they're going to be conversations that Memphis is at least going to have to explore?
Yeah, probably. And I mean, Tim Pernetti from practically day one when he was hired, that was stuff that he talked about. Openly, exploring the private equity side of things from the conference standpoint and using that to make it more attractive for teams to either stay in the American or come to the American. or join the American. And you know, I think that those wheels are still moving. I don't know that there has been any sort of like announcement or any deals that have been finalized just yet. But yes, I mean, that is something else that I think we will start hearing more of in the future, both with the American and Memphis.
All right, and then we also learned last week that Memphis is scheduled a game with Vanderbilt. It is a home-and-home. December the 17th will be the home game. But also, right after we had your appearance last week where you said keep an eye on the international on the international big front, the Tigers have added – so George sent me a pronunciation guide. I believe it is going to be Simon Mahjouk. Is that correct?
So, not quite. I talked to Simon last week, and I asked him to say his name for me.
The phonetic spelling of his name, or the phonetic sounding of his name?
It's not phonetic, because he's got a his own, you know, like he's got the dialect from where he comes from in South Sudan. And there's sort of an emphasis on part of it that is not exactly common. So when he says it, it sounds the most like Mahjouk. And that, I think, is the way it's going to be pronounced, when he gets here. So, Simon Mahjouk, 7'1", I believe.
Okay, and so are we obviously, of like the information we were able to get, Cobb found some scouting reports from, I believe, the Serbian league or wherever it was. But this, my understanding is this is a depth add, correct?
It certainly seems that way off the rip. But like, he was in that, he's been playing in Serbia for 3 years. And now, you know, we don't know like what the level of competition
Correct.
Is, like what he's going up against every single day. But he's produced, that's where he's been for the last 3 years, and he has produced. He was MVP.